Dr. George Dimitri, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Good morning, I'm Taylor Wilson, and this is 5 Things You Need to Know Tuesday, the 29th of September, 2020. Here are some of the top headlines. An unidentified grand juror in the Breonna Taylor case is demanding the release of the grand jury's transcript. That's so the public can know the truth about how the jury came to the decision to indict just one of 3 police officers in the fatal shooting of Breonna Taylor. The juror's motion accuses Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron of using the grand jurors as, quote, a shield to deflect accountability and responsibility for those decisions, unquote. Former officer Brett Hankison was indicted on wanton endangerment charges for shooting into an apartment next to Taylor's. Those charges are not directly related to Taylor's death. New wildfires in Northern California are forcing thousands of people to evacuate and have killed at least 3 people. The Zog Fire near Redding and Glass Fire in Napa and Sonoma Wine Country have also burned nearly 70,000 acres. And there's a new Stanley Cup champion. The Tampa Bay Lightning beat the Dallas Stars 2-0 in Game 6 of hockey's final on Monday night. It's their first championship since 2004. Hey, you can check us out on Twitter at USA Today Podcast, where you can stay up on 5 Things stories and also join the conversation with fellow listeners. Plus, if you let us know your thoughts, your tweet might be featured right here on the pod. That's at USA Today Podcast on Twitter. Now, onto the show. The first presidential debate is here. President Donald Trump against Democratic nominee Joe Biden. The 90-minute contest in Cleveland won't have a lot of the usual standards, including opening statements or handshakes due to coronavirus concerns, but there will be tons of different issues on the table. Claire Thornton, who you know from the 5 Things Sunday show, spoke with USA Today 2020 editor Anna Ashbrenner about what to look out for.
What should people be watching for during tonight's debate?
It would be really good for folks to listen to the messaging on healthcare from both sides. I think you're going to see Democrats start pushing their healthcare message even more now that Ruth Bader Ginsburg has passed and the Republicans will be trying to confirm a Supreme Court justice. Democrats have tried to make the argument and were rather successful in 2018 that people will lose their insurance if Obamacare gets replaced. If you have a pre-existing condition, you won't be covered. And healthcare has time and time again come up as a top issue for voters. So I think the arguments that both sides will be making related to healthcare and what the future of healthcare looks like will be very important over the next sort of 35 days. It'll be interesting to see what Trump's counter to the Democrats' message on healthcare is. And I'm also curious to see sort of what their interchange will be on coronavirus and how Trump will respond in person to what Biden has to say about Trump's record on coronavirus. So if I was looking for things to watch for, I think those two are the most sort of consequential as we're moving into the last month of this campaign.
What does each candidate need to do to be successful in tonight's debate?
So incumbent presidents usually come into a debate a little as an underdog, in that they are seen, you know, for these 4 years as being the president, as almost untouchable, as holding this office that no one else can sort of even compare. And so when they come into this first debate in a re-election year, it's sort of the first time they're brought down to another just kind of regular person's level. So I think Trump will want to come in and, you know, look presidential to give people a sort of feeling that he has their back, that he's looking out for them, that he's making decisions as president with the American people's best interest at heart. That messaging will be really important on his side because I think part of Joe Biden's strategy is to make it look like Trump does not have the best interests of Americans at heart. That's been a lot of Joe Biden's messaging around coronavirus and other things, just that the president does not care about the American people, that he's he only cares about himself. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Biden kind of take that tact of, you know, we need someone in the Oval Office who has your back, and Trump pushing back. He's at a little bit of a disadvantage in that an incumbent president is often seen as losing the first debate because it's sort of the first time in 4 years they're challenged more directly by a peer. The optics of it will look, you know, it sort of brings a president down. People look back at Barack Obama's first debate with Mitt Romney, and that was seen as a win for Romney because, you know, it'd been the first time Obama had sort of been brought down to candidate level again. So it'll be very interesting to see how both of them kind of deal with that expectation game. And then, you know, just who can better make the argument that they're the one who has American voters' backs.
Joe Biden leads President Trump by an average of around 7 points in national polls. You can tune into the debate at 9 p.m. Eastern Time and follow along with USA Today's nationwide team of journalists. We'll be live fact-checking and also adding context on important issues from the pandemic to the Supreme Court and more. Just head to usatoday.com/elections. President Donald Trump on Monday announced a plan to distribute 150 million rapid COVID-19 tests in the coming weeks. He made the announcement at the White House Rose Garden, which also featured an in-person demonstration of the test. As part of a $760 million deal with Abbott Laboratories, Trump said 100 million of the tests will be sent to states and territories to help them reopen their economies. And the rest will go to institutions that serve vulnerable communities. That includes nursing homes. While the move has been applauded by some, health expert Dr. William Hasseltine, who used to be a professor at Harvard Medical School, said that it's too little too late. Meanwhile, on the vaccine front, U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams said that a vaccine is near the finish line.
What I would say to people who want to know when they can get the vaccine, we honestly can't answer that question because the first step is making sure we have a vaccine. But we still do believe we will have a vaccine that is safe and effective by the end of this year or beginning of next year. There are no safety corners being cut here. It's really about buying down the risk by doing multiple steps at the same time that normally would have taken months and in most cases years to accomplish in a stepwise fashion. I want you to hear me say vaccines are safe, they're effective, they're the greatest public health achievement of the last 50 years in this country, and I will be among the first in line when they tell me that a COVID vaccine is available for me.
For now, the coronavirus isn't going anywhere, though. In New York State, once one of the world's virus hotspots, an uptick in cases was reported over the weekend. That included its first day with more than 1,000 new cases since June. Around the world, a grim milestone has been reached, more than 1 million deaths from COVID-19. That includes more than 205,000 deaths from the virus in the U.S. House Democrats have unveiled a $2.2 trillion COVID-19 relief package. The bill would provide another round of $1,200 stimulus checks, reauthorize the small business lending program, and bring back a $600 federal unemployment boost through January. It would also give assistance to the airline industry. The Republican-controlled Senate is not expected to move the legislation forward, but it does represent a new negotiating point, some $1 trillion lower than Democrats' previous proposal. The Major League Baseball playoffs get underway on Tuesday, and after a shortened 60-game season due to the pandemic, the postseason will feature the largest field in history with 16 teams. The opening wildcard series will be unique best of threes, hosted by the higher seed team. Then the divisional round, league championship series, and World Series will be played at bubble locations in Texas and California. The Los Angeles Dodgers had the league's best regular season record and are the top seed in the National League, and the Tampa Bay Rays will be the top seed in the American League. You can watch the action beginning at 1:08 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC, ESPN, and TBS. Happy National Coffee Day! If you're a coffee lover, you can almost definitely find a free or discounted cup of Joe near you on Tuesday. Chains and brands around the country are offering up deals. That, of course, includes Starbucks, which began the made-up holiday early on September 15th for members of its loyalty rewards program. And on Tuesday, if you order a grande or larger, you'll get a free drink loaded onto your account for the next visit. At Dunkin', you can get a free medium hot or iced coffee with any purchase. And plenty of other big players, from Krispy Kreme to 7-Eleven, have deals available. Plus, local coffee shops will be full of deals too, so check in with whatever stores in your neighborhood. And you can find a full list of nationwide deals on usatoday.com. Thanks for listening to 5 Things. You can check us out on Apple Podcasts, where you can also rate and review, or whatever your favorite podcast app is. Thanks, as always, to Claire Thornton for her work on the show. 5 Things is part of the USA Today Podcast Network.
Dr. George Dimitri, medical oncologist, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works, and then the expert clinicians that interact with patients and families every day. It's not easy to have input at a substantive level to new drugs that are safe and effective at treating cancer. So our whole mantra has always been to try to minimize risks to patients and yet try to maximize the opportunity of finding how effective a new treatment could be. And that means understanding cancer really, really deeply.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.